Welcome to Horticulture Hangover on News Radio KLBJ. You're in the right place to get answers to all of your questions about your lawn, garden, trees, and more. Now, here's your host, Colleen Dieter.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Colleen Dieter with ATXGardens.com. I am a landscape consultant. I help my customers by alleviating their anxieties about their yards. And I'm here today to answer your gardening questions. You can call or text 512-836-0590 with whatever's on your mind. And this week, I saw Susan on Thursday morning, who's a listener of the show. Thank you, Susan, for having me come out for consultation at your lovely garden. Susan was struggling with gardening with dogs. She has two little dogs, and they kind of get lost in the garden under the plants, and it's hard to see where the dogs are, and she was worried about them getting, you know, bit by snakes or killing rabbits and all kinds of concerns with dogs in the garden. So we talked a lot about that, about how to solve that problem. And she's doing a really good job of planting the native plants that spread and are very aggressive, which is a technique that I really like to employ because then you don't have to weed as much. So it was really cool seeing Susan. Thank you, Susan, for having me out. It was really fun. Susan gave me some rain lilies too that I'm going to enjoy. She had extra from an order she made. So that was really cool. And I'm excited to try them at my house. And I already have a text message from an early bird. Let's see what it says. There's a picture of a little tree that they sent, and it says, I have a cedar elm that came up as a freebie in a container plant. I transplanted it about 2 months ago and recently noticed the main top branch has started to split. It also has a really odd shape because of the other plant in the container. What are my options to salvage it for being a future shade tree? Please forgive me for a lack of mulch. I will be getting it soon. Aw, great. Okay, well, it's hard for me to see in the picture, but the picture is of a really tiny tree, which is great. And definitely with elm trees, it's really common for them to have two leaders where there'll be a main trunk coming up. Well, of course, at this stage, it's just a little stem. And then another stem will come off and try to also be a main trunk. And that can be a problem later as those two trunks grow next to each other. They push against each other as they grow in diameter every year. And that can cause the tree to fall apart. So when they're teeny tiny, you definitely can cut off the one that is smaller that's trying to compete so that it will just have one leader. But I want to say that elm trees, particularly cedar elms, which they have that kind of defect genetically. So it may happen over and over again. And they still can live like really good long lives even with that defect. But eventually, it can cause them to fall apart as they age when they're really, really old. So, but you can do corrective pruning when the tree is really small. And what was the other question there was in there? Yeah, that's it. And it's okay if it has an odd shape. It's so little, it will probably straighten itself out as it grows now. So you're all set. And yeah, put some mulch around it just so that you're protecting it from mowing equipment, you know. you don't want to accidentally run it over with the lawnmower or hit it with the weed eater. And if you put a nice mulch circle around the tree, it'll protect it from that and keep the soil cool around it and help keep moisture in the soil. So mulch is really important. Make sure that the mulch is not touching the stems. Okay. Because the mulch will rot the stems. Okay. So great question. Thank you for that. I like to call the fall cedar elms fall elms now. There's not really any reason for them to be associated with cedars. And they have beautiful fall color. And they definitely make a lot of seedlings. They can be a little bit annoying that way. So here's, looks like I'm getting another text message here from my buddy Don in Westlake Hills. Don sent a photo of a walkway. Ah, okay. Colleen, he says, Don Bennett in Westlake Hills here. I'm tired of getting on my knees and digging out these little weeds. Do you have a homebrew option or Roundup or any other solution? Okay. So, do you have a homebrew option to Roundup? Okay, got it. Or any other solution. So, he sent a picture of his walkway. It's a beautiful walkway with little weeds coming up in the cracks in the walkway. And, that's a really big maintenance issue. It's really annoying. So, Don, I would say two things. One, vinegar works really well for this kind of thing, especially 20% vinegar, which is the horticultural grade vinegar. It's when you make pickles at home or salad dressing, that vinegar is only like, I don't know, 8% or something mixed with water. But you can get a stronger concentration of vinegar from the garden centers, horticultural vinegar. It's 20%. And so that and you can spray that on the weeds. Mix it with just a little bit of soap, like Dawn dish soap or something, so that it will stick on the leaves. And then spray that on. And that will kill anything in that pathway. It will only kill the tops. It won't kill the whole plant if it has a deep root. But it saves you from having to bend. Flame weeders are also good for that. I've never used a flame weeder, but that could work just to save you from having to bend. But I also really recommend planting something in those cracks on purpose that you like, that you could just periodically mow down. Sedges work really well for that. I'm always talking about sedges on this show, but they're just such versatile plants, and they're just little grasses, little grassy type plants. So you could try planting something on purpose in there. A lot of people will try thyme, or like creeping thyme, or creeping a real short type of oregano would be nice. Looks like it's sunny. Ajuga could be used that way, but not in the sun. So things to consider, but it'll be a different look, with stuff growing in there. I also, at my house, I have this problem in my patio, and there's just certain plants that volunteered in there that I just allow to grow. Like the wood sorrel, it has little yellow flowers, looks like a clover or a shamrock. I allow the wood sorrel to grow at my house. I just made friends with some of the weeds. So, and it's a little scruffy, and when it gets a little too tall, then I come and I mow it down, or I'll hit it with the weed eater, the string trimmer. So think about that, Dawn. But yeah, it's really hard to weed those cracks. That's really hard because you can't get tools in there very easily and stuff like that. So I want to tell y'all about an event that I'm going to be at It's the Tree Folks' third annual Keep Austin Rooted picnic at Live Oak Brewing, May 5th, 2024, from 11:30 to 3:30. Check it out. Tree Folks is our local tree planting and tree education organization. They have reforestation projects where they help people after disasters to plant trees back on their properties and along waterways, public places too. Check it out, treefolks.org/picnic. And I'll be there answering tree questions. I was asked to be on the arborist panel. So during that event, I'll be there answering tree questions. So that'll be a lot of fun. It's treefolks.org/picnic. It's a fundraiser for them. It's going to be a lot of fun. Check it out. I'll be there. You can come and say hi. treefolks.org/picnic. And let's see here. We have a couple more text messages coming in. Let's see if I can get one in before the break. Oh, here's someone with a question about wondering why my trumpet vine is possibly dying. And yeah, they sent a picture of a really sad looking vine. And there's so many reasons with that type of sudden whole plant death. makes me suspicious of just a few different things. One is that something happened to the main stem at the bottom. Maybe it got chewed on by an animal. Maybe the stem got damaged, like hit with a shovel or something like that. Maybe even on the other side of the fence on your neighbor's side, maybe they dug a big hole right next to the plant and you didn't know that your vine was there and maybe damaged the roots. So yeah, those are some of my best guesses. That looks like mechanical damage to me, or something happened to the bottom stems or the whole root system. All right, thank you for that question. And we're coming up on 8:15, so we're gonna go to the break. Thanks so much.
This is Horticulture Hangover with Colleen Dieter. Call or text your lawn and garden questions to 512-836-0590.
Good morning, everyone. This is Colleen Dieter with ATXGardens.com. I'm a landscape consultant, and every Saturday morning at the Horticulture Hangover, I'm answering your gardening questions. And now we have one of our regulars, Denise in Elgin. Hi, Denise. You're on the air.
I'm doing fine. Thank you for being there and helping me with many of my questions. With the last few winters we've had and droughts, I'm seeing plants not come back, and I'm questioning, are they really well adapted to this area?
Yeah.
And the latest one is hardy hibiscus.
Yeah.
It's not the tropical. It's definitely the hardy that's supposed to be good to zone 4, I think, or 5.
Yeah.
But they have not come back yet. And I thought, is it Ooh. Too early because we're not warm enough and I should just give it a little more time?
Especially with you out in Elgin, I think I'd give it at least until May 15th. But I have seen them coming back here in Austin, in town, already, and they're pretty tall already because it's been warm.
Okay.
So, you know, I kind of could go either way, Denise, with those. And well, the ones,
one of them, I have two of them, and one of them I'm pulling the old stalks out if they're loose.
Uh-huh.
And on one of them, all of the stalks were loose and pulled out. And
okay.
on the other one, most of the stalks still held tight. So I cut them down to about 8 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just testing them, seeing if they were loose, you know, was
yeah.
plant dead. And one of them, all of them came out. And the other one, they all stuck fast. So I'm thinking the ones that stuck fast still has a chance of coming back. But the ones where all of them came out, I'm really questioning.
Yeah, I think you should replace the ones where all of them came out. And those are interesting plants that I don't have a ton of experience with them yet. They're sort of new for me. And I'm really hoping that they'll be reliable, but I'm seeing the ones that I am around regularly are not, they're coming back, but they're really yellow. And I think maybe the soil pH here is not great for them, but I'm hoping that they're going to come through and be good year after year.
Right. And I do add a hibiscus fertilizer for them and try to get a little bit of acid in the soil to help supplement that.
Yeah. Yeah, Denise. So I think they're probably not coming back, but you could give them a little bit more time.
All right. I'll start keeping my eyes open for the hardy hibiscus in the nursery.
Thing. Yeah. Okay, Denise. Thanks so much for your question. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Bye-bye. Okay, we have another call. This is Fernando in South Austin. Good morning, Fernando. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. So I just planted, some seed probably 3 weeks ago, and it actually started growing, but now it looks like moss all over my yard, all over the soil. And I was just wondering, I have dog, I'm trying to get it to grow as fast as possible.
Okay.
What do you recommend? I use the Scott's Bermuda Fast Grow, and I know it has already some nutrients, you know, to make it grow faster. But I'm not too sure if I should like put something on top, or I don't want to burn it up. Or
no, don't do anything yet. I think you just have to wait, and it should start growing here. You know, and you said it. Did you say it already started growing?
Yeah, it looks like moss all over my yard.
Okay, yeah, so it's just itty-bitty.
That small.
Okay, yeah, it's just itty-bitty. Yeah. So, yeah, you just have to wait. And we're going to get some really good rain here this week, and that's going to help a lot. So you have to wait a few weeks before you can let the dogs out on it, you know, because they're just teeny tiny plants, and the dogs will rip it right up. So, patience.
There's no kind of food I could give something...
No, I wouldn't do anything like that on brand new tiny grass. It just needs time. It just needs time and rain. Yep. Yeah, keep watering. But don't, you won't even really need to water it because there's so much rain in the forecast. So, so right now, this, you know, supposed to rain like all day tomorrow, and there's rain in the forecast for all next week. So, what you need to do is just make sure that it's moist. The soil is moist like a wrung out sponge. Okay. Just don't let it dry out.
I have a question about that moist.
Sure.
The moist. So like what if I touch, I live out in Butte. So if I touch, put my finger on the dirt, it should be wet, right? I mean, that's moisture.
Yeah. It's going to be like when you use like a towel and it's really wet and you wring it out. That's what you want. You want it to be like that, but you don't want it to be a situation where you put your finger on it and it's like too squishy, like where there's water, where you see like water kind of pooling up around your finger. Like that's too much.
Gotcha. Yeah, I hear you.
That's too much. So
just keep watering and be patient.
Yeah, and with all the rain we're going to get, you may not even need to water that much. So just keep... check it every day with your finger and just don't allow it to dry out.
Okay.
Yeah. And you should be all set, but it's going to be like 3 weeks before you can put the dogs on it. So you're going to have to take them for walks.
Just if you say so.
Okay. And I bet the dogs agree probably.
Yeah. I'm doing it now actually.
All right. Good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Fernando. Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions about dogs lately. Dogs and landscapes is a real, they're definitely a force of nature. So it's definitely hard to keep good grass with dogs. It's hard to garden with dogs. I love dogs, but I am a cat person. So for all those reasons. I've just seen time after time after time how hard it is to keep a nice yard with dogs. So let's see. I also want to tell y'all about volunteer work days at the Tree Folks Seeds to Trees Native Nursery. You know, I'm a founder of an organization called Central Texas Seed Savers, and we provide tree seeds for Tree Folks, a local tree planting nonprofit. And our volunteers from Central Texas Seed Savers go out and collect seeds from their trees and send them over to Tree Folks for their native nursery so they can grow their trees to use in their reforestation projects. And they need volunteers at the nursery to help clean the seeds and plant the seeds. And they need help building out the nursery, too. They're expanding all the time. So check out treefolks.org/nursery and register to volunteer every Wednesday and Thursday mornings. It's a really fun group, great people. treefolks.org/nursery. That's every Wednesday and Thursday morning. They need help cleaning seeds and planting seeds in their nursery. They can use, if you like carpentry, they need help with carpentry. So check that out. treefolks.org/nursery. And that's with the Seeds to Trees Native Nursery and Central Texas Seed Savers. Okay. I'm so glad it's going to rain all day tomorrow, because not only am I happy to always have rain, but it keeps me indoors for a little while so that I can actually get some rest and do indoor chores instead of gardening all day long. Ooh, I can't get my text message thing to cooperate here. Let's see. Come on. Well, y'all, the number is 512-836-0590. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad this person texted. Here we go. My text message thing is working now. And there's the picture of a gardenia in a pot that was sent to me last week. And I kept thinking about it because it was such a weird picture. I'm so glad. So here's the text message. Remember me? Turns out it was not root bound at all. Vibrant white roots about 2 inches from the side of the pot. Wonder if the grow bag it was in self-pruned those roots in some way is impeding. Oh, new leaves are coming in green, but quickly turning chlorotic looking. I've taken it out of the grow bag and repotted. But just thought how weird that was. Wondered what you thought, Miss Colleen, with the sunshine emoji. I just kept thinking that it looks like a variegated type of... What am I talking about? Gardenia. And just wondering if it's supposed to be that color. Because it really does look like a variegated type. Or if it's suddenly mutated. I didn't know it was in a grow bag inside the pot. So that's interesting. In the grow bag, my first thought is that something's wrong with the drainage and it just really needs good drainage. So you just really need to make sure that there's enough drainage. Use a gardenia food. If you can water it with... rainwater, that's the best thing for the pH. Okay, so thank you so much for following on that, because I've been thinking about it. And we're going to go to the news now. See you after the break.
Welcome to Horticulture Hangover on News Radio KLBJ. You're in the right place to get answers to all of your questions about your lawn, garden, trees, and more. Now, here's your host, Colleen Dieter.
Good morning. It's Colleen Dieter with atxgardens.com. Thanks so much for listening. We're talking about gardening today, and we've got Roger on the line in Northeast Austin. Good morning, Roger. You're on the air.
Good morning, Colleen. Yeah, my turf cap They're blooming real. I mean, pardon me. They're leafing out really, really well. The problem is the leaves have holes all in them. Something's eating it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it is or how to combat it.
Okay. How long have you had these Turk's caps?
I've been on this piece of property for about 35 years. They're probably 20 years or better.
Oh, okay, great. Well, Roger, this spring has just been such a proliferation of plants and bugs and insects and all kinds of stuff happening because we're getting through the drought. We're getting a lot of good rain. So there's just bugs and caterpillars and butterflies everywhere. And those old Turk's caps are going to be fine. I wouldn't bother doing anything. If they just have holes in the leaves.
Yeah, it look like a whiffle plant.
Yeah, it's a whiffle plant. That's good. You just rebranded. That's really smart. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what else to say.
I know. It's a whiffle plant. They'll be just fine. The plants have, you know, evolved with the insects. So if there's just holes in the leaves, that means it's just some kind of little caterpillar or something coming probably at night. That's why you haven't seen them. And, they're going to go through their life cycle. They're going to be out of here in a couple weeks and the plants will recover and be just fine. And they'll just grow new leaves.
I hadn't got any blooms on them yet, but yeah. Oh well, I'm still hoping.
Yeah,
it's later, what, around June?
Yeah, it's still early for them. Mine haven't started blooming yet either, so it's still early for the Turk's
caps.
At least
my hummingbirds like them.
Yes, I think they're so great. Yeah, it's a really great plant to have in the landscape.
You can also, the berries on there, I know they've got a pit in it, like a cherry seed, but you can eat the meat.
Ooh, I have tried them before. Have you eaten them?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I like them. They're
pretty
good.
Okay, just want to let folks know that they are quite edible.
Yeah.
Watch the pit.
It's really cool. Yeah, Roger, thank you so much for your question. I appreciate
you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Yeah, y'all, this spring is every single plant in my garden has been eaten. There are just caterpillars everywhere. There's, grasshoppers coming out, all kinds of stuff. And for me, it's okay if some of the plants get eaten, if they're established, they've been in the ground for more than a year or two, they're probably going to be fine. It depends on the plant. If they're perennials like the Turk's cap and they've been in the ground for more than a year, a few holes here and there is okay. They're really hard to kill and they know what to do. They're at the bottom of the food chain. The plants are at the bottom of the food chain. They know what to do. They're going to grow new leaves. But if you have a plant that's brand new, you know, that you just put in the ground less than a year ago, they need a little more protection because they don't have enough carbohydrates stored in their roots to be able to grow new leaves after their first bunch of leaves get eaten. Okay, so it's a little different when you have a brand new plant. They need a little more protection. It's a little different with woody plants too, with your trees and shrubs. It takes them about 3 years to get established. They're just slower growing, it's harder to get them established compared to some of the perennials. And so when you have plants like that, they may need a little more protection too. And then you're in a situation where you've got to figure out what's eating the plant so that you'll know how to protect the plant. And that means a lot of times going out there at night with a flashlight to see if you can see anybody. But so many of these bugs go through their life cycle so fast that by the time you notice the damage and you know, and then figure out, you know, that something's wrong, sometimes it's too late. They're already hatching into butterflies at that point. And it's just, I've just been enjoying the life in my garden so much this spring. There's just been so many awesome butterflies and all caterpillars everywhere. And I had a pretty bad outbreak of four-line bugs in my garden, but I'm not spraying or doing anything. I'm letting the birds handle it. Some of the plants look a little ratty, but I know they're not going to die. And that's okay. And I'm having a good time seeing all the little woolly bear caterpillars come out and scurry around, and birds coming in and eating them and stuff. It's pretty cool. So the vegetable garden's a little bit different story. If you're growing vegetables and you have a lot of bugs, that's a different story. So if that's the case for you, you can always call in and ask me questions about that. The vegetables are different. That's a different standard. I'm really happy someone texted and said, my red star hibiscus, with a little hibiscus emoji, is about 3 foot multi-stem already. They like acidic soil. I put my citrus fertilizer that I use on my lemon tree on the hibiscus. Great suggestion. Thank you so much for sharing that. If y'all are into growing hibiscus, they're really rewarding plants to grow. And I'm glad to hear someone else confirm my suspicion that they like acidic soil. So put citrus fertilizer on it for the same thing that you'd use on a lemon tree, or you could put the same thing that you would use for roses too. Something acidifying with sulfur in it will help some of the hibiscus to thrive. And I grew a Texas star hibiscus, a red one, for years. A friend gave me that she grew from seed. And it was really fantastic for a long time. It got squished in a construction project. And I probably should have moved it. And that's what killed it. But it didn't need any soil adjustment or anything like that. It did well even with the alkaline soil that I have. But it's not as showy as some of the hardy hibiscus, you know. It's a little bit smaller plant. The leaves are a little smaller. The flowers smaller. The hardy hibiscus are just so amazing. So let's see here. I want to tell you again about my website at atxgardens.com. I'm Colleen Dieter. I'm a landscape consultant, and I help my customers by alleviating their anxieties about their yards. I give advice to do-it-yourselfers. And we're coming up on 8:45 here, so we're going to go to a break soon. But you can always call or text me with your gardening questions at 512-836-0590. See you after the break.
This is Horticulture Hangover with Colleen Dieter. Call or text your lawn and garden questions to 512-836-0590.
Good morning, everyone. This is Colleen Dieter with Red Wheelbarrow, atxgardens.com. And we're having a really fun time talking about hibiscus today, beautiful hibiscus. And here's someone else who texted in and with pictures of their heartleaf hibiscus. Not as showy, but it's a tough native. I got mine at Native Plant Society of Texas plant sale from Steve and Leander. Steve, thank you so much for listening every week and contributing. And that's so cool to see your heartleaf hibiscus. And oh yeah, what a beautiful flower. I know I met someone else recently who had a bunch of heartleaf hibiscus. It's one of the native hibiscus. And I've only ever gotten seeds from Seed Swap, Central Texas Seed Savers Seed Swap events, or plant swaps and the native plant garden sales and stuff like that, because it's not available at nurseries. But man... They are really pretty plants. And I saw one in a pot recently. Someone who is volunteering for Central Texas Seed Savers gave me a bunch of seeds from hers that she was growing in a pot by her front door. And it just looked so nice. Just full of blooms, even though it's not as showy as the great big hardy hibiscus. They're still really pretty plants. And I really like, there's another native plant called the velvet leaf mallow that grows on the side of the road and is a type of hibiscus. It's, and it's, you know, got this velvety silver color leaf. It's so beautiful, and it's heart-shaped and has little yellowy flowers. It makes a lot of flowers, but they're small. And I just love that plant, and I wish that one was available at nurseries too. That's another one where I've only ever gotten, you know, been able to get the seeds from our Central Texas Seed Savers swap events. So thanks for sharing about all the hibiscus, Steve and Leander. And let's see, I got some more text messages here. This says, I have two pear trees and I put them next to each other. They're almost 2 years old, and maybe one I put last year. My question is, they're pretty young and pretty thin and the wind is blowing pretty strong. Wanted to know if it's okay to prune them and cut them shorter so they can be growing stronger. I hope I didn't spell anything wrong. Oh, it's okay. I'm just talking on the phone sometimes, so thank you for your help and advice. Hey, no problem. You know, if you're shy, if you're not comfortable talking on the phone, you can always text the station here instead. And yes, it is definitely okay to prune pear trees, especially when they're young, to shape them up. If it's really windy, you may want to stake them too, to hold them in place. And it's okay with fruit trees. You really can trim them however you want, and you can keep them small. It's much easier to keep fruit trees when they're small. You'll have more success. And just don't trim more than 25% of the tree at one time in 1 year. And the spring is not a good time for pruning. So wait until the summer. Wait until July to prune them, okay? And right now we've got Joanne in North Austin on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Colleen. I have a very beautiful plant. I just sent you a picture of it.
Oh, let's see. I don't know if I can find it. Tell me more.
It is a blue flowering plant. And it has got to be the most invasive bunch of you-know-what that I've ever had.
Oh, I see it. Yes.
Can you tell me what it is?
Yes. That is a native wildflower that's called widow's tears.
Okay.
Yeah, and they will. They'll come up everywhere, especially if you have, like, part shade type yard.
Mm-hmm.
And they're cool season, so they come up in the spring. And then they'll bloom at this time of year, and then they're about to go dormant.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem is their seeds spit more out than Ruellia does.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is there anything besides digging up what I've got and praying I've got all the seeds, is there anything else that I can do to discourage them?
Yes, you could mow them now while they're blooming.
Uh-huh.
You know, mow them down or use the weed eater to cut them down so that they won't make seeds at all.
Okay.
So that's important. If there's ever a plant that you don't want in your yard, you know, making sure that you cut it down or remove it before it make seeds is really important to stopping its life cycle, you know. And then this is one where if it's, you know, if you want to plant other plants in the area where the widow's tears are growing, this is one that you can definitely sheet mulch over. So,
okay.
Yeah, so if you cut them down and then put two layers of cardboard on top, wet down the cardboard, and then immediately put a couple inches of compost and a couple inches of mulch on top of that, then you'll have a new planting area. And you just have to let it sit for a few months before you plant anything. So if you did it now, let it sit all summer, and then in the fall you can plant in there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because unfortunately they are right in the middle of my flower beds.
Yeah. I leave mine at my house, but just like any other plant, they start to get out of bounds and they'll start growing all over other plants, and that's when it can start to feel overgrown. Yeah,
that's what has happened. You know,
okay.
I'm going, oh, what a beautiful plant. And
yeah.
I'm going, oh, what an, you know, what plant.
I know. It goes, yes, too much of a good thing. Yeah, I understand.
It was.
Yep, okay.
All right. Well, thank you for letting me know what it is.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, they are really pretty.
Yes.
And the blossoms are just gorgeous.
Yes, they're really pretty.
They have taken over.
Yeah, it can be a little much, so I understand.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your help this
Thanks
morning.
For your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, now we have John in Cedar Park on the line. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Good morning, Colleen. So I have a typical subdivision lot in Cedar Park. It's about 5,000 square feet.
Okay.
And I've been here since 2008, struggling with plant things.
Mm.
And is this beyond your territory, or would you possibly come out here to do a plan for me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I go to Cedar Park all the time.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what would I do? Call your day number when I get ready to do that?
Yeah. Well, you can make an appointment with me at atxgardens.com. So you can
just
make the appointment online, and I will magically appear at your door.
Okay. Uh-huh. I'll magically try to be there.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Oh, thanks for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, and I always tell customers before I come out to make a list of questions for me so that you're sure, you know, you're somewhat organized, you kind of know what you want to talk about when I'm there. You don't have to have it all figured out or anything. That's what I'm there to help you with. And basically, I just go through the yard with you, walking through where we will... you basically give me the tour of your yard and tell me all your pain points and all the problems and show me everything that you want to show me. And I say, tell me everything. And then I'll talk. And then we'll go back through the yard again and I'll answer all your questions and give you ideas and advice about what to do where. So thanks so much for your call, and I will go anywhere in Central Texas, pretty much within an hour drive of Austin. So if you're outside of Austin further than an hour, you can call me and we'll make other arrangements. Then you can hire me for a whole day. So we've got Connie in Smithville on the line. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Colleen. I have a quick question. I'm in the process of digging out some more of my front yard to make another bed.
Okay.
And I came across a plant at Lowe's. It's called Bovine.
Yeah.
It's reading what it says on the back of the label. It sounds like a good plant for a nice, hot, sunny spot.
Yes.
Low water, full to part sun.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Bulbine is great, Connie, and I recommend it for full sun. You might lose it in the winter, okay? If it gets really, really cold, it might die and not come back. So you may need to cover it in the winter if you're out in Smithville.
Okay.
Just be aware. And
okay.
Connie,
and then I have one more quick
question.
I've
got to go to the news, Connie. I'm so sorry. It's the end of my show. So try me again next week.
All right.
Thank you, Connie. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next week.